Welcome to WellPass Hope and Healing Podcast, a unique and new way that we stay connected with the field to talk about patients, people, and our partners.
We are here with Cindy Watson. Cindy, how are you this afternoon?
I am great. It's so nice to be a part of this podcast series. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is our fourth one, and we waited to have a very special guest in you. Cindy, you are our divisional president, and we are so honored that you've spent some time with us today to talk to our teams. It's really important for us that we think about different ways in communicating across our entire organization, and this is one of those ways. And I know that you've been out and about, and you know so many folks, but there's a lot of us that don't know you as well. I'd love if you could jump in and maybe help us understand you a little bit better. But can you do that first by sharing a fun fact?
Oh, a fun fact. Well, okay, here goes. So one of my favorite things to do is lip sync battles. And I would challenge pretty much anybody. Like, I do a great Adele, a great Bonnie Raitt, a great Melissa Etheridge. Yeah. Yeah. A great Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, Elle King, you name it, I got it.
Cindy, you are cutting across genres of music, and this is something, and we've worked together for a year and a half now. I didn't know this about you, and I'm fascinated by this.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. It goes right along with the fact that I really love to dance, too. So, you know, I don't have a great voice, which is why I don't do karaoke, but man, I can rip it up from a lip sync perspective.
I'm awful at singing. In fact, my go-to karaoke song is The Devil Went Down to Georgia from the Charlie Daniels Band, because there's no singing. It's just fast talking. But I imagine that in your lip syncing battles, you're both dancing and then lip syncing. Is that correct?
It is the total entertainment package. Yes. Yes.
Wow. So, all right. So for our listeners, keep that in mind. If this is a trait or a skill that you possess, it sounds like you've got somebody that wants to challenge you out there in our president of the division, Cindy Watson. So Cindy, thank you for sharing that with us. Maybe a little bit further, can you just share with us a little bit about yourself professionally, what your story has been personally, just as we get to know you?
Sure. So I am a lifelong healthcare professional. I'll start a little bit before that. I grew up on a farm in upstate New York. My parents raised quarter horses, and I learned how to ride probably before I learned how to walk. And I loved horses, and I loved that sort of growing up in that kind of environment. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about sort of independence and autonomy. And I was the youngest of five kids, the youngest by a lot. And so I kind of grew up by myself without my siblings, because they had all moved out by the time I was probably 10. And then I was an athlete in high school, and I was an athlete in college, and that sort of gave me another set of skills, partly about independence, but also partly about being a team player, partly about understanding the importance of supporting your team, understanding the real value of a great coach, and just sort of the rigor and discipline that comes from being an athlete and being a team member. Like, I never wanted to let my team down. And so after I went off to college, and I began in school as a linguistics major, and realized that linguistics and linguistic anthropology really is not going to pay the bills. And I didn't have the opportunity to, you know, sort of just pursue academic excellence. And I switched my major to speech pathology, and I became a speech pathologist. And it was a great career, and I loved every minute of it. I was a clinical aphasiologist for the first 5 years of my career, working with primarily stroke patients and closed head injury patients. Learned a lot about sort of, you know, the neurology of language and speech and communication and all of that. Really, I enjoyed the work greatly. And then I was invited to be a part of an NIH grant that studied the long-term effects of prematurity. So I had moved from Boston. I lived in Chicago at that point, and I was part of this NIH grant. And so as a speech pathologist, I worked in a very unique environment. I worked in a newborn intensive care unit, and we had 72 isolettes. So we had 72 babies, neonates all the time. And we studied the long-term effects of prematurity on those children from the time they graduated from the NICU until they were 5 years old. And then we got to present our results at an international symposium. It was very, very exciting. And, you know, the thing about working in a NICU, however, is that there is great joy and there is also great sadness. And I decided that after I'd been a speech pathologist for 10 years, that what I learned was that I could do a lot, sort of one-to-one, you know, because you can do small group therapy if you're a speech pathologist, but for the most part, you have a single patient interaction at a time. It's a one-to-one. And I wanted to use a phrase that Jorge Dominicis uses, I wanted to amplify my calling. And so I wanted to do work that would allow me to do one-to-many. And I was recruited to, of all things, a brain injury company. And I began doing sort of clinical business development for them, working with neurosurgeons, neurologists, rehab physicians to identify people who needed short-term, medium-term, and long-term brain injury rehab. I did that for a few years. And then I found my place. And my place was operations. I was given this opportunity to go to work for a startup company. You know, I was someone who grew up on a farm, so I didn't really know what startup kind of meant and didn't understand, you know, venture capital investing and growing starting a company and growing a company. And I went to work for this company called Theratex, and that was in the early 90s. And I joined the company. I was one of their first field operations people. And at that point, I didn't know anything about operations. I certainly didn't even know how to read a P&L.
Hey, Cindy, what's a P&L?
Yeah, exactly. A profit and loss statement. I didn't know how to tell whether my business was doing well or not doing well. And so luckily for me, in that role, I found my mentor, and his name's Brett Jorgensen. And he has been my mentor for over 20 years. And early on in my mentoring relationship with me, it was a lot of teaching and training and coaching. And then later on, you know, sort of more recently in my life, it's really about just getting an objective opinion about my career or about a specific challenge that I'm having. And that really did sort of change the trajectory of my career by working at Theratex, working with him. We got to grow this company. We provided post-acute rehab and skilled nursing facilities. We were one of the first companies to do that in the industry and did really good work. And then from that point, we took the company public, as they say, and I moved on in terms of other operations roles. So since 1998, I have been some sort of operations executive. I've either been a VP of operations, a regional VP of operations, a VP of strategic operations. I've been a COO. And also just prior to joining WellPath, prior to joining CMGC, before we were WellPath, I was the CEO of a behavioral health company. And I learned a lot all along the way. You know, I learned the things that I really appreciated from leaders. I learned about aspiration and inspiration. I learned that if you do what you love doing, that it's not really work. It's like, wow, I can't believe I get to do this every day. And you know, since we've brought WellPath together, I feel the same way about it. You know, I feel like that if I can, as a leader, sort of, you know, make sure that we set the path and we stay true to those visions, to the vision, the mission, the values of the organization, and not only to the organization, but to ourselves and to each other, then leadership is, you know, getting a chance to work with this group of people is just wonderful.
Cindy, that's so good. I there's a couple things that stood out for me. One is there's a bit of humor in this, but you referenced in your childhood, you know, independence and autonomy, and as an athlete, team player, and great coaching, and you were an athlete in high school and college. What I will tell our listeners is, if you don't know Cindy, what she didn't reference that she has in spades is a spirit of competitiveness. And and she, if there's somebody that is walking faster than Cindy, she will pick her gait up, and pretty soon she will then be the fastest one. And so I just had to make that observation. I hope that's okay.
That is fine. I am fiercely competitive, and I think it comes from being the youngest, number one. I think it comes from being an athlete, number two. And I think it just comes from, I don't know, it's in my DNA, I think, you know?
Well, I love it. I've got some of that myself. I'm also reflecting on the richness and the breadth and depth of your experiences. And so I want our folks to know that we have a leader in Cindy that has seen lots in lots of different settings. And when you have all of those different types of experiences in different industries, I really think that that brings a creativity and a solution orientation that has been really helpful to drive our business forward. So as you spoke through that, I was just moved by the richness of your experience. And then one other thing before then, maybe I can move on to a different question, is you talked about mentorship, Cindy, and in my observation is that you were very intentional in cultivating that mentorship. You probably came with thoughtful questions and issues. And I think that that's something, as we consider our own progression and development in our careers, that we should all take very seriously, seek out those mentors, and make sure that we have folks that can speak into our life, speak truth into our lives, that have been there ahead of us. So that's a reflection too. Anything else you'd like to say on mentorship?
Yeah, you know what? I think that as I reflect, I think that there are a few things that are sort of essential, right? Essential to one's professional development, probably one's personal development too. One of the things is curiosity. Like, you just have to be curious. You have to want to know why. Like, why? Why this and not that? And so I love intellectual curiosity. And I think that that people that bring that to the table, just wanting to know why, already are sort of a step ahead, right? The other thing is initiative. Like, you have to not only ask why, but you have to be willing to sort of get up and go figure out why. And then last but not least, a mentor to guide and coach you so that you don't get too far off track, so that someone does speak truth to you, so that someone, you have a relationship with someone that you can count on. And sometimes it's teaching. Like, this gentleman had to teach me how to read a financial statement, and I had no idea at all. And he was patient and instructive and deliberate and intentional. And And I learned a tremendous amount from him. So in the very beginning, it was him more being the teacher. And as we progressed in our careers, I think we became more colleagues. But I still relied on him because he knows so much about me as a leader and a colleague. It's critical. It's a blessing. It is when you find someone that can be that for you, take every advantage of it.
Well, I view that, frankly, as a call to action to us, because across our organization, most of us find ourselves in either leadership roles or trying to think through how we can help grow other leaders, or many of us are aspirationally, you used that word earlier, hoping to be leaders someday. And so I view that as a call to action that we should be thinking about mentorship. And there's two sides of that. Can you mentor people and can you be mentored by people? So thank you for sharing that wisdom with us. I do want to pause here. We're sitting at the end of May. We're almost halfway through 2021, which I'm having a hard time believing, but we're also 14 months, almost maybe 15 months into COVID. And I think for many of us, this has been one of the hardest years that we've experienced it. And it's hit our company and our space differentially, but it's hit the entire country. And I just wanted to, frankly, pick your brain a little bit about anything that you're seeing from your level, lessons learned. Have we pivoted or done anything differently or in a smarter fashion? Any silver linings? So I know that's a lot, but I just wanted you to riff a little bit on COVID.
Sure. You know, I think that it would be a complete oversight on my part if I didn't begin by saying it has been challenging, right? Challenging at every turn. It has been tragic, and it has been, you know, sort of a battle, if you will. And I want to acknowledge that because I know that, you know, the entire country, but certainly on a smaller scale, WellPath, as an organization had huge challenges as we tried to meet the challenges of taking care of people in an incarcerated environment during a global pandemic. So you know, that is where I'd like to start. From there, I'd like to first talk about, you know, what did I learn? You know, I learned about people coming together as a team to solve a problem. And I really did learn the value in, you know, many heads are better than one kind of thing.
Takes a village.
It takes a village, exactly. And we wouldn't have been able to do this as individuals. We had to do this as a team. And I would tell you that there have been relationships. I have developed relationships inside the organization that I would never have gotten the opportunity to develop were it not for COVID. You know, Susan Patrick Harris comes to mind. I mean, I would never have had the opportunity to interact with her as much as I have. Dr. Ruby, another person, comes to mind. Someone that I feel like we all learned from on a regular basis. So there were, you know, there were these opportunities that presented themselves.
You know what else is interesting about that? So what you just described is more people that you connected with as a function of this. In a weird way, there was a depth of relationship, at least from my perspective, as a new guy a year ago, the frequency with which we all saw faces, now granted through screens, but we still got to see faces. I think helped me accelerate some relationships along the way too. That's just my perspective. Sorry to interrupt. I didn't want to throw you off, but.
Oh no, that I would agree with you. And I think that captures, you know, what I was saying. So silver linings, in the very beginning, I didn't think there would be any, And then over time, I realized that as you just said, Justin, that I had the opportunity to have deeper relationships with people, even though I was further away from them. You know? I mean, there's something about sort of going through, you know, a tragedy that does bring people closer together. And I think that happened. And to be intentional about connecting with people and checking in on people. And, you know, the other thing is personally, I didn't travel. And so I got to spend time with my two young adult sons. You know, we all lived here in Nashville together, and it was time that I will cherish forever, because there was not any other circumstance, you know, whereby that would have happened. And that was a silver lining for me. Now, from a business, go ahead.
The number of folks that were out on walks last March and April in the neighborhoods was astounding. I'm sure we as a country got our steps in a way that we hadn't in quite some time.
Exactly. And so getting to spend time in this relatively new city for me of Nashville was also an opportunity that I grabbed onto. So that's the way that I think about some of the silver linings. You know, the last one that I'll mention, and then I'll talk about how I think it impacted our business overall. Another silver lining was, I think that in correctional healthcare, certainly in local detention correctional healthcare, COVID created a vacuum at the very top of the industry. And we were there to fill that vacuum. I think we demonstrated hour by hour, day by day, month by month, year by year, that we were the leader in correctional healthcare. And we did that in ways big and small. You know, whether it was the kind of client webinars that we did, we had a real commitment to training, to the sharing of information, further the sharing of best practices. You know, I have been out visiting clients for probably the last 3 or 4 months, and to a client, if we went through COVID with them, they have said, we wouldn't have been able to do it without WellPath. We don't know what we would have done without WellPath, including, you know, understanding what can someone translate the CDC guidelines for me? And what does it mean? What does it mean for my jail? And this very generous sharing of best practices across clients, across partners, you know, it really did sort of position us as the leader in jail correctional healthcare. And I'm very proud of that. And every single member of our team should also be very proud of that. You know, I think from a business perspective, there were some things that happened that I think, were it not for COVID, we would not be as far along. And, you know, I'm going to talk about technology, embracing technology. You know, if someone had told me in January 2019 that in April of 2020, I was going to be on a Zoom call. Well, number one, I didn't know what Zoom was. So we'll start there. But that I was going to be connecting with people in this forum. And after I got comfortable with it, I truly appreciated the value of it. And I continue to appreciate that. Now, there is no substitute for in-person, but Zoom, I think, has changed all of our lives. And you know, to see healthcare professionals, to see healthcare in general, not a group of people, for the most part, who are early adopters, but boy, people just embraced telehealth, telemedicine, and did that so that we could meet our commitments to our patients. And certainly on a broader perspective, nationally, globally, you know, telehealth has now become standard business practice. And I think that's a good thing.
I think that's right, and very insightful, Cindy. With that as a backdrop, can you tell us what your priorities are for our local government division this year?
Sure, and thanks for asking me that. So, you know, one of the things I'm going to segue actually from COVID to our vision and our strategic priorities for 2021. One of the things that I learned is that during COVID, our commitment to the care of our patients was palpable every day, every day. And I knew that before COVID, but it became so real every day as people would sort of, you know, they would put on their PPE and they would go in and they would take care of patients and they would do that. And, you know, sometimes at their own peril, sometimes worrying about, am I going to bring this home to my family? And so that really inspired me. It inspired me throughout COVID. It's what kept me going a lot of the times. And so I made the decision thinking about, you know, how are we going to focus in 2021? And I decided that every single thing that we focus on, and it's not a long list, by the way, every single thing is going to be from the context of delivering the highest quality patient care for the dollars entrusted to us to those patients. That's what this is about. This is about how do we deliver the best patient care. And we do that in a few ways. And so I'll explain to you, you know, the way I think about it. So the first thing is stewardship. And stewardship just means taking good care of the things entrusted to you. And that can be anything. It can be a human resource, it can be equipment, it can be dollars, it can be any of those things. We have to be good stewards of our company's resources, of our resources. And the reason is if we are good stewards, we will be able to provide the care that we provide to more patients for longer periods of time, right? So if you think the work that you do is good work, very good work, don't you want to do it for more people? I do. And maybe that's the clinician in me. I want to do it for as many people as possible. And the way that I can ensure, we all can ensure that that happens, is by being good stewards of our resources. So stewardship is the first one. The second one is retention. Because here's the thing, that the work that we do begins and ends with people. And I am keenly aware of that. I've always been keenly aware of that. And I honor that. And for me, and I think for us as a division, we have to make a personal and professional commitment to keep good people inside the organization. So we have to make sure that we care and nurture those relationships, that we, to use a Jen Diaz phrase, we love on these people. We have to make sure that that's what we do. And we have to, when we can begin to retain 2 out of every 3 people that we hire, we will be on the right track. So retention is the second one. The third one is resource allocation. And, you know, this one sort of ties back a little bit to stewardship. You know, how do we make sure that our resources are allocated appropriately, that the work that we do provides the greatest, most efficient and effective level of support possible for our field-based employees. So, you know, those may sound, Justin, pretty simple and pretty straightforward, The goal here was not to make them difficult. The goal here was to make them something that would resonate with everyone and that everyone would think was relevant.
I think it's great. And we helped, got to be a part of helping to design that, Cindy. And team, I would love, if you've got feedback, you've heard from me, you've heard from Cindy, stewardship, retention, and resource allocation, give us your feedback. We've got an email address, lgwestinfo@wellpath.us. Send your thoughts in. We want to continue to make sure that this resonates and is actionable for everyone, no matter where we sit in the organization. So Cindy, with your priorities and the backdrop of COVID, I know how important recognizing good work is to you. And I also feel like we could spend the next 3 hours doing our best to honor, love on, and recognize our people. But are there any folks that you'd like to call out in particular across the division that have stepped up in a manner that's been really impressive to you?
Absolutely. So, Justin, you know that this is one of my favorite things to do. And as you said, this recognition and appreciation for me could be an entire podcast series all on its own.
We'll do that next time.
Okay. So I have learned of or know about a couple of people that I'd like to recognize. And the first one is Heil, who is the new HSA at our San Diego juvenile site. You know, I think it's important. Oftentimes, you know, we don't have as many juvie sites and we forget about our juvie sites. And I think it's really important that we all recognize the work being done in our juvenile sites with these very young, very impressionable people, that we have the potential to change the course of their lives. And I think that that is socially relevant and critically important work. And so Heil, she is so engaged and she's always looking for ways to celebrate and to love on her team. So Nurses Week, which is her favorite week and her first Nurses Week as an HSA, she decorated her clinic and she went way beyond. Every single one of her staff people, even her PRNs, got a box of chocolates, a gift card, and a handwritten letter from her. In addition, as many of you know, Nurses Week is also Correctional Officers Week, and she made homemade pumpkin bread for all of the security staff. So I'm sure that not only do we love her, but her correctional and probation staff love her as well.
All you got to do is feed people and they will love you. I will say, Cindy, Heil and I have been able to have lots of interactions. Heil, I know you listen to this. You're a constant contributor to my town halls. I appreciate your openness, the questions that you ask, the role that you're doing is making us better. We're blessed to have you on the team. So Heil, I hope you're listening to this.
Yeah. And then the other person is another HSA, and her name is Melinda Stevens, and she is the HSA in our home county here of Davidson County. She is amazing. She is so dedicated to her sites. Everyone that knows Melinda knows that she runs a really tight ship and has for many years. Not only does she run a tight ship, she runs a great operation. She also works really hard. And I'd like to give an example. So Melinda is the HSA for the entire county, for the Davidson County contract. She had an HSA that worked for her at the Metro Davidson female facility, who left, who quit the job with no notice. That in and of itself would be challenging. But she did this while the entire site was preparing for their ACA audit. And so what Melinda did was she sacrificed people from her own from her own facility to go over to the MDF. She trained someone how to do all the compliance monitoring and just to make sure that the ACA was successful. She works on the floors. She makes the wheels turn over there. And we are, again, very, very fortunate to have her.
Oh, love it. Love it. So thank you, Cindy. I want to be respectful of your time as we start to wind this down and just give you a platform. Any words of wisdom or encouragement that you'd like to share with the team?
So I guess I'd start with, you know, COVID will end.
I'm knocking on wood right now, by the way.
Right. I know that it will. And you know, it's COVID will end, but there will be a new normal. And I think that all of us need to understand what the new normal is. I think that we need to recognize and appreciate those silver linings that I talked about earlier, that that let's be intentionally grateful about the things that we learned about each other, about ourselves, about our work as a result of COVID. And then let's work to bring those every day to the work that we do. You know, I knew before pre-COVID that we were a very, very strong, very talented, very committed, very hardworking group of people. And that hasn't changed. And I'm really proud of that. I am proud of the work that all of you do. And I am here to serve as your leader.
Cindy, thank you for spending time with us. Listeners, if you've got questions, comments, concerns for Cindy, for any of the rest of us, please send those emails to lgwestinfo@wildpath.us. Cindy, I hope you have a great summer. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Justin. It was my pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to WellPath's Hope and Healing Podcast. We'll see you next time. Always do the right thing.